So pleased to welcome you this evening. I'm Chris Atwood. I'm the features editor of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise and co-author of the soon-to-be-released printed version of the Passion Test, The Effortless Path to Discovering Your Destiny. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, these calls are about what it takes to live a passionate, fulfilled life. And our theme for tonight's call is expressed in the words of Malcolm Forbes, who founded Forbes magazine. He said, "The biggest mistake people make in life is not making a living at doing what they most enjoy." Tonight we're going to interview my fellow co-founders of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, Rick and Liz Thompson and Janet Atwood. All four of us are fortunate today to be making a living doing the things we absolutely most enjoy. And we look forward tonight to sharing some of the adventures we've had along the journey, and our intention is to help you apply the lessons we've learned to creating your own passionate life. And of course, for those of you that don't know, May 1st, when this interview is going to appear on the cover of the magazine, marks the third anniversary of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. So we've invited all of you here tonight to celebrate with us. So I'm going to open it up and just say, let's celebrate for a moment. Yay! Welcome. Good night. Good day. Yay! It's the third anniversary.
Pop the balloon.
That's it. Pop the balloon.
That's the cork of champagne, okay? Anyway, or the cork of grape juice. I don't know.
Great.
Anyway.
So that's Janet Atwood, who I'll introduce in a moment, who is joining us this evening from Rishikesh, India, in the high Himalayan mountains. But first I want to talk about Rick and Liz. And Rick and Liz, are you there?
Yep, we're here.
Oh, you're there. Okay, good. I first met Rick and Liz about 5 years ago, soon after Janet and I launched the Enlightened Millionaire Program with Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen. At that time, they owned an Internet service provider in West Virginia, and Rick was deeply immersed in the business. So we didn't get to talk to him a lot. However, we did get to talk to Liz, and she quickly became one of the leaders in the Enlightened Millionaire Program. Both Liz and Rick have been entrepreneurs since college. They've owned and run a number of businesses, and we just connected with them almost immediately. Liz has had the gift of being able to see a vision, map it out on paper so others can understand it, and then design the systems that allow that vision to become real. Rick, on the other hand, is a master of the technical aspects of creating and running websites, as well as understanding where the bottlenecks or challenges in a process might exist. And both Liz and Rick have become masterful in presenting opportunities to others in ways which are honest, clear, and enticing at the same time. Now, Rick and Liz, when they started the magazine 3 years ago, they started it with their son Chandler, who gave them some very serious support. And Chandler's how old now, you guys?
He's nine.
So from age six, Chandler was right in there with the magazine. But Stefan just joined us a year ago. And together, the four of them live on an 80-acre farm in West Virginia. And Rick and Liz, it's such a pleasure and an honor to have you tonight with us. Now, Janet, my longtime business partner, has been the top salesperson at almost every sales job she's held over the past 25 years. She ran the marketing division of Books Are Fun, the third largest book buyer in the U.S., and when it was sold to Reader's Digest for $380 million, that happened the year after her division had performed at record levels. Janet's a master connector, and she's been primarily responsible for connecting with many of the great guests we have featured on the cover of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. Over the past 2 years, she's been actively pursuing her passion for spending time with the enlightened, traveling extensively throughout India and Nepal. And she's been the one who's been responsible for creating the Dialogues with the Masters monthly calls, interviewing enlightened sages every month, something that, as far as we know, this is the only place that happens anywhere by teleconference. Tonight, she joins us from Rishikesh in the Himalayan mountains of India, where she has been one of the featured speakers at the International Conference on Yoga and Consciousness. And together, Janet and I create the alliances which have allowed Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise to reach thousands of people all over the world. And over the past 3 years, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, starting from nothing, which was nothing more than an idea and almost no capital, it has grown to being one of the leading resources for personal growth and development today with over 100,000 subscribers. When all of us were together in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, recently for our first annual corporate retreat, we were talking about it, and we realized that as far as we know, this Passion Series is the largest ongoing teleconference series in the world. So we're looking forward to sharing with you some of the stories and the adventures that have happened as this has all taken place. And I'm going to begin by asking Liz to tell us how the whole thing got started. Because, Liz, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise was really your and Rick's idea originally. So will you tell us the story of how your passions, the things that are most important to you in your life, led to the creation of the magazine?
Sure. As you said, back before Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise was born, Rick and I owned an internet service provider and a tech consulting company. That happened to be right around 9/11. And when 9/11 hit, we lost about 40% of our business in one day. So we spent the next year rebuilding, expanding, and kind of struggling our way back. And when the first year anniversary of 9/11 came around, Rick and I were out at lunch, and we were kind of looking back over the past year. And we had done all kinds of amazing things to bring the company back up, but we were both miserable.
Now, okay, I want to stop you there for a second, Liz.
Okay.
We'll come back. Remember that point, okay?
Okay.
But I want you to take just a moment, because one of the things that's so struck Janet and I when we first talked to you was what you and Rick did at 911. And if you could just tell, you told sort of the effect that 911 had on you on the business, but what effect did it have when it was happening, and what did you guys do? Would you just share that? Because that really spoke to your passions, I think.
Well, of course, we were ticked off just like everyone else was when it happened. We were actually taking Chandler to daycare and had the radio on when the second plane crashed into the Pentagon. And, the Pentagon's not far from us. We live in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. So one of the reporters from that radio station was standing right there as the plane hit behind her. We could hear it crash. And we were like, oh, my God, what is going on? And I immediately had to do something. I can't just sit still when stuff like this is happening. I had to do something. So we called the Red Cross headquarters for our area, and they were like, well, we don't know what's going on. So I said, okay, well, I'll call National Red Cross. I ended up talking to the director there, and he was like, we have no idea what to do in a situation like this. We've never planned for anything this big. So I was like, okay, well, who should I talk to? And he said, well, try FEMA. So I called FEMA, and they had a big list of things that they needed that they weren't getting in New York and at the Pentagon. So I called the different, the different local areas to see what was going on as far as collections were going, and nothing was happening. So I was getting really irritated, and I said, well, we're going to have to do something ourselves. So we, got out our little Rolodex and ended up getting a truck and calling the radio stations and having all these announcements made all over the tri-state area where we live. And people brought tons and tons of stuff. I mean, we had thousands of hard hats and buckets and just tons of stuff that was donated. And people were just coming out of the woodwork. And they were just so happy that they could help and that there was a place that they could help, because everybody felt so stinking and helpless after that. That it made us feel better to be able to do something, to be able to take that truck up to Staten Island and drop it off there for the workers that were actually clearing out Ground Zero. There was another group that ended up taking a bunch of stuff down to the Pentagon, and it mushroomed. But we basically shut our business down for a week so we could handle doing this, and we didn't really think twice about it. It was just something that we had to do.
it's such an expression of the quality of your characters and the passion that you guys exude in everything you do. Thank you for sharing that story. And you ended up, it was a whole semi full of stuff, right?
Yeah. Actually, we couldn't take it all with us. The truck wouldn't hold it all.
Right. But as you said, that event did have a pretty devastating effect on your business. Let's come back to that point where a year later you were sitting down and you were feeling pretty down.
Yeah. Over that year, we had managed to pick the business back up. It wasn't where it had been before, but we had expanded internationally. We had done all kinds of neat stuff. So looking back on it, we should have been happy that how far we'd come. But, the 9/11 made us see deeper. It made us realize that, you know, we can't waste our time doing things that are not our passions, that we are not excited about. And we just weren't excited about that business anymore. So, I mean, that kind of put me into a funk. And I just had to put all that aside, and I started going through this process that I developed that eventually came to be what we now have as the science of creating your dreams. And the biggest part of going through that process was putting aside where we were right then. I had to be able to stop and look at the future how I wanted it to be. And once I could get out of where I was and just get clear about what the vision for my life was, then I could see it. So, you know, I mapped out this big plan, and then I'm looking at it, and I'm, you know, the ISP, the tech company, none of that was in that picture. Okay, now what do I do? We have this business, and it's not in the picture anymore. What do we do to get rid of it? And I just kind of sat with it. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but it was the silliest thing, because within 30 days, we had an offer to buy the company. It wasn't on the market. I hadn't told anybody that we wanted to get rid of it, but an ex-employee of ours had come back and decided that he wanted to buy it. And, you know, long story, a little bit less long, less than 120 days after I sat down and did that plan, we had sold the tech companies and had the resources to start Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise.
Wow, isn't that great? So, and
getting clear helped us that.
Yeah. So, Rick.
Yes.
We know that you have a huge passion for creating wealth while making a major positive impact on the world. And when you were in that situation, how did the idea of the magazine align with your passions? And how did you figure out how to get started with the whole thing?
Well, that's a great question. You know, obviously, I mean, we probably all heard the phrase that you can have anything you want in life as long as you help enough other people get what they want out of life.
Mm, yes.
So, you know, if no matter what your goal is, you know, financial freedom or what have you, you still have to do it in a method that's going to bring the most benefit to the most people. So obviously what we're doing here with Healthy, Wealthy, Wise, you know, we feel really helps a lot of people. Opening doors for people, exposing them to some new types of information that maybe they wouldn't have seen before, you know, stretching people's boundaries,
mm-hmm.
Seeing where we can go with it, and, of course, having a lot of fun with it. You know, kind of how we started this and how we got going, I'll be honest with you, you know, to kind of summarize what Liz said after 9/11, I mean, literally within 1 week here, we had achieved pretty much the impossible. You know, 1 week after September 11th, we were in New York looking at the smoking rubble, you know, with an entire 18-wheeler semi full of stuff that had been collected from, you know, the three states around us, hundreds of volunteers, you know, radio station, TV coverage, I mean, you name it. Literally just sort of we just jumped in with both feet and went after it. I mean, what Liz forgets to mention here is that pretty much the day before we left, we didn't even really know who was going to be able to handle what we were bringing.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
We just said they need it.
We were bringing the semi full and hoping that someone would be there to unload it when you got there.
You got it. Literally, you got it. And one of our volunteers, because we were making calls left and right, and people were like, you know, no, we can't handle this, or, you know, that's too much, or whatever. And one of our volunteers said, well, did you check out this? And just that, literally that, like it was that night before.
Yeah.
So we made some last-minute phone calls, and they said, absolutely, bring it up.
Mm.
So off we went. And
wow.
It's just the whole magic of, you know, if you just jump in and do it, you have no idea what the universe is going to do to, you know, wrap itself around that momentum and that energy and support you in it.
So taking action, you mean you can't just do it sitting at home and sort of thinking about it?
Yeah, sitting on the TV, you know, sitting on the couch watching TV and eating bonbons is probably not going to get you your passion, right?
That's not going to do it, huh? Darn,
gosh.
So, I was hoping.
You know, here's the theme. You know, the theme is that, you know, really that was a real, real big changing point for us because we moved mountains and did it very, very quickly by leveraging, by having people step up and help out. And, you know, it's amazing what a team can accomplish and what that huge energy push can accomplish.
Yeah, good. Well, Janet, you've cultivated friendships with some of the most successful people in the world. And At that time, you just completed a major project with the number one best-selling authors, Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen. What made you want to get involved with a fledgling startup like Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise?
I have no idea. No, just kidding. I must have been crazy. No, really. Liz, I think it was Orlando, wasn't it, where we first met?
Yep.
And actually, I had been in charge of what we call the ambassador program with Mark and Bob and Liz, and I don't know if Rick, if you were ever on those calls too much, I think you were, but I really, you know, after working at Books Are Fun and being on the phone forever, it's like I have an ability to know people through their voices. And every time Liz would get on the phone, I was just at ease and happy, and mother is at home, and I knew everything was going to, whatever she said she would take charge of, I knew it would happen. And then when, Chris, we both met Liz and Rick in Orlando when we were with Mark and Bob, and we sat down with them, and I remember we were having lunch, and they were telling us the story again. I said, tell me the story again of 9/11, and I just sat there and cried. And I just thought, you know, this is the type of people, these are absolutely the type of people that I want to be connected with and play with and grow old with, because they have so much love and they have so much integrity and they're doers. You know, they didn't, as you heard from their story, they weren't thinking what's in it for me. They were just thinking, how can I help? How can I serve? And to me, that's everything. So my first attraction was truly for the love and respect that I had for both of them, and also that they looked like they'd be a lot of fun. And then when they asked us, you know, will you find our covers for us, I thought, God, what a blast. What more fun would it be than for me to go out and give the gift to all of my mentors and legends that I knew, to have them be able to be on the cover of such a wonderful magazine called Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, where all you read in it is everything positive. I mean, where in the world do you find that, where everything is always positive? And I just thought, what an also incredible opportunity to, you know, and it was always, you know, here's where I'm a little bit less like Liz Rick. I was thinking, well, let's see, well, this would be a lot of fun for me because I can get the people that I really, really admire and respect, my mentors, to be able to talk about their passions and be able to hear about my favorite subject from those that I knew would really, really inspire not only me but everyone else. So that was actually my first impetus. You know, the principles, Chris, you asked for some principles. Well, the number one was get clear on what you love to do, because I knew that I love to go out and I love to find people. And as you said earlier, I'm a connector. And so then choose in favor of those things whenever you're offered an opportunity. And I love to say, and as we do in our book, that if the opportunity isn't aligned with what you love to do, don't take it on. Follow your bliss. In other words, drop in, for all of you that are listening, drop into what is it that you love to do. Don't worry about the how. Just know the what, and this is what we say in our book. If you clearly know what it is that turns you on, lights your fire, brings you passion, and you've heard this month after month after month if you've been on our passion calls, all of our mentors say the same thing. When you follow what you love, God's will for you and what you love is one and the same. And when you follow what you love, then all the people, places, or things will magically show up. And I'm sure that that's exactly what happened for Liz and Rick when you guys got that truck and you had too much stuff to deliver. Because what you love to do, am I correct, Liz? Am I correct, Rick, that what one of the things that you truly love to do is to serve the planet? Obviously, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And anyway, then, I could answer that for you, but thank you. Then in 2004, I realized that my number one passion, and this was a huge aha, Chris, uh-huh. and I know it was shocking to you, was to spend time with the enlightened. And I thought, oh, wonderful. Let's see, how am I going to do this one? I'm now a co-partners of an online magazine that's just taking off. Chris and I have a company called Enlightened Alliances. I have a speaking program and a coaching that we like to do. And now I want to go and leave everything, go to India, go to Nepal, go to other parts of the world, and spend time with the enlightened. And I was like, oh, great. How am I going to be able to walk my talk, which is in the online book that I wrote about following your passion, and still have my business partners not throw me out with the bathwater? And luckily, and I am so, so very blessed, and this is another principle, and I'll share that little principle with you in a second, but you'll get it right now, is luckily with Liz, Rick, and Chris, when I told them what my passion was, they went, go for it. We're right behind you. And, of course, out of my adventures came the story which makes the upcoming print edition of the Passion book so interesting. And our Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise magazine has now the Dialogues with the Masters, which Chris was talking about, which is our monthly interview series. And ultimately what came out of it and is coming is a book and a documentary film. So I like to think that I add some color and excitement to our team. And I know sometimes when I come up with some ideas, I'm the one where everybody's neck has to go, what, and get a little bit of a twitch in it. But the principle number two that I want to share is, even though I might surprise everyone, is that choose a team who shares your values and who will support you in choosing in favor of your passions. I'm really lucky and blessed because all Liz, Rick, and Chris are always 100% supportive of me.
Thanks, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Liz and Rick, I want you both to answer this question. When our readers are thinking about following their passions and beginning to get aligned with their destiny, you guys have learned some key things. Isn't that true? It wasn't like everything went right along the way all at once.
Right.
And so could you share with everyone, what are some of the key lessons that you've learned, and what are some things you'd advise someone who's just starting out or who's maybe stuck along the path of living their dreams? What are the things that you would suggest to someone in that? Maybe, Liz, you could start.
Actually, this has been kind of a refrain for the call so far, but the number one thing is really you just don't have to have all the answers to move forward. Just move. And that is that's one of the biggest things that I've learned in all my business fits and starts. It's like getting clear with the fact that I couldn't move forward keeping the ISP in the tech company. We just couldn't. I didn't know how that was going to happen, but I made the plan anyway. We moved, and the pieces fell together. Just like Rick was saying with the getting the truck together, I had completely forgotten that was another time. we didn't have the answers, but we were doing it anyway, and we knew the answers would come when they were needed, and they just do. I mean, you just have to move. So that's the first thing.
Now, in regard to this, I just want to stop you on that one. You, one of the things you did in moving was to approach Janet and I. I'm just curious. We've never actually talked about this. But what was it that made you guys say, well, one of the things that we need to do in taking action is talk to Chris and Janet?
I honestly don't know. That was just such a natural thing to approach you guys with. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were in the perfect place, and that's something that you love to do, and I knew it. And we needed somebody to help. I mean, Rick, do you have?
Yeah, I mean, this is actually a great concept for everybody, but as a matter of leverage, you know, we knew that if we were going to launch this magazine big, you know, we had to have, you know, big authors, you know, people that, you know, speakers or authors or mentors that people were used to listening to or reading about, and that wanted to come read the magazine because of that. You know, it was a great launching point for us.
Mm.
And that was a fantastic role that we felt that, you know, you and Janet filled as just, you know, awesome connectors.
Plus, you're just awesome to work with. So.
Oh, well, thank you for that.
That was a given.
Would you guys say that one of the key principles, then, one of the key things that you were doing is looking for points of leverage, points, ways that you could leverage yourselves and the things that you had to offer in other ways? That was that like one of the key things that in terms of talking with Janet and I, that you saw that maybe we could help bring some of the bigger names and things to the cover of the magazine that would attract others?
Yes. At the time, I didn't know that's what we were doing, but yes, that's what we were doing.
Okay, good.
Yeah, sometimes we do these things unconsciously and then realize what we were doing right later.
So that's a great thing in and of itself, is that sometimes it's just a matter of taking steps and seeing where things go, huh? Is
yeah,
that true?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Which actually segues into that next point that I wanted to make. Just remember there are no failures. They're all learning experiences. I like to call it my lemonade principle. Because my first company was a gift basket company. I screwed up just about everything you could possibly screw up in that business. And in the end, I realized, you know, I figured out how to make it work. I made it a successful business. And then very similar to NetStorm, I realized that I didn't like that business. So a lot of people would view that as a failure. You know, I built this thing and then I was really unhappy running it. But the experience taught me a lot about business and it enabled me to start my next company, which was closer to what my passions were in teaching people how to start and run a successful business.
Mm.
So, I would help them avoid some of the pitfalls that I'd fallen into and move forward that way. So, you know, don't take things as failures. When life gives you lemons, just learn how to make the lemonade.
Great. And Rick, what are some of the lessons that you learned? And I would love it if you would just share a little bit of the story of when you guys were getting started and what were some of the things that you took action on and then maybe some of the learning things, the lessons that came out of that.
Well, that covers a lot of ground. There are always lots of things to learn when you're first starting out on a project, right?
Yes.
The first one, I think, is just to paraphrase Winston Churchill, you know, never give up, never give up, never give up.
Mm.
You know, we just sort of moved, and we said, okay, this is what we want to do, and this is what we want it to look like, and got it in place. Now, of course, we're fortunate enough that, you know, doing a website, and I did have a tech background, so I was able to do the web pages and so forth. A very little, you know, capital investment. You know, the capital that we did have, we could use for other purposes and live off of and so forth. So we really leveraged our resources, and then, like I said, just went for it. Now, what we have today, you know, 3 years later, is very, very different than what we pictured it when we first started.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, like any project, any business, you know, has a life of its own, you know, and it will evolve. You know, a fantastic example of that is Janet's passion with you know, hanging out with the enlightened and learning from the enlightened. And this whole, you know, the whole passion series itself was not something that we started off with. You know, that it just sort of naturally evolved as a way that we could support each other, have a lot of fun. And yet, you know, there's a valid market there that money can be made.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, as we all know, we were hanging out in Mexico. You know, we've been running this series now for quite a while. It's gone just phenomenally well. And, you know, as a casual comment, I think, by you, Chris, of that just kind of kicked our conversation off, that we're pretty well plugged in this arena. And we don't know of anybody with a teleseminar series even close to being this popular.
Yeah.
And it's not like we were aimed at doing that. It just sort of naturally evolved because we were focusing on our passions and delivering great value and having a lot of fun. And it was just sort of one of those, wow, wait a minute, look what we just did.
Well, I have to make a comment about this because you and Liz were so great at the point that Janet had written the original version of the Passion Test, the e-book, and we were about to bring that out, and we talked with you guys about it. And the first thing Liz said when she heard about it is, well, why don't we make that the theme of the cover stories for our magazine? And it was really out of that thought of Liz's that the whole Passion series came to be, and it wasn't until that point that we decided to do our interviews live on on these teleconference calls and then put them in the magazine a couple months later. And to me, that is such a great example of the power and value of a team that's willing to support each other's ideas. Because what's come out of that has been something none of us could have imagined, and yet it all came from the openness that you guys had to taking a new idea, something that we were working on, and then seeing out how can we make it even better, how can we make it bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and buried in that is another great point, Chris, is that mm-hmm. you know, we take for granted the power that our team brings to the table. You know, for people who are starting out, you know, on projects, you have to have a team. They're your lifesaver. You know, Mark Victor Hansen says 1 + 1 = 11. And, you know, if 1 + 1 = 11, you know, what does 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 =? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's really how the four of us have our results have kind of summed up. And for anyone out there starting a new project or you know, trying to get one really to the next level, you've got to have your team. You know, I don't care if it's a very typical team of a lawyer and an accountant advisor and maybe some other entrepreneurs, but you can't do it alone. You know, Liz and I were, of course, a team for many businesses before this one, but just the support and the enjoyment that you get working with that team will get you through a lot of things that you just couldn't do yourself.
Great, absolutely. So, Janet, as we've talked about a little bit, the Passion Test, your ebook, was the inspiration for this interview series, and you've launched the Dialogues with the Masters series so that our listeners can hear from some of the most enlightened people on the planet. You clearly have learned how to align your passions with your business interests, and I wonder if you would tell us a little bit of the story of how your passion to spend time with the enlightened emerged into the Passion series for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and ended up with you being in Rishikesh, India, invited to speak at the International Conference on Yoga and Consciousness. Wasn't it scary to decide to make the choice to go off to the other side of the world? And how do people deal with that if their passions are things that scare them to death?
Do it. I love what Catherine. I was on the phone with Catherine Lanigan one time, and actually it wasn't very long ago again, where Catherine Lanigan is the author of Jewel on the Nile and Romance. Is it Romancing the Stone?
Right. Uh-huh.
And Catherine and I were talking one time when I was in Houston visiting her, and I said, Catherine, because she's so completely fearless, and I said, Catherine, I said, you know, like, what do you tell people when they're afraid to get going? And she said, do it! And she just yelled it, do it! Because, you know, here's the thing, and Chris, I go along with what Neil Donald Walsh also said, and it was pretty much the same thing without yelling, do it. He said, you just have to use your courage and know that when you follow your passion, and I said this earlier, all the people, places, or things will show up. When you so align with what it is that brings you bliss, which so brings you bliss, and for all of you, you know, we're able to live our passions to the extent that we know who we are. So in knowing who we are, it takes a moment for us to stop from our busy lives. We're always running, 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 doing, doing, doing. You know, in this age of technology with cell phones and computers and technology overload, that almost sounds impossible. But I'll tell you, you know, when I took my passion test for, I don't know how many times I'd taken it before, but this one time I went, stop, just get away from everything and get deep. The whole world is your oyster, Janet. What is it that you would really, more than anything on the planet, love to do? And then it was just like, bing, and crystal, you know, as you know, you were there. The light went on, and when I dropped into that, it was like the desire to do it, the love to do it, the passion to do it was so strong that I would have left everything to do it. Thank God my partner said, no, there's a way that this works for all of us, you know. And thank you, Liz and Rick, forever and ever. And Chris, I am just so thankful to be with you. Because of that, it just shows how completely expanded you are. Because for me to, you know, travel off and go off to India, and no one knew. And here's the other thing. You're not going to know how all the dots fit together.
And
go ahead, Chris.
I just want to ask you to tell a story that I know illustrates that so well, because I remember that there was a time when you were coming back to India, one of your first trips in the last few years to India, and you were making jewelry. This was before 911. You were making jewelry on the plane, and a woman sat down next to you. And would you just take a minute and tell the story? Because that was really about not knowing where all the pieces would fall in place, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd been in Puttaparthi, India, and visiting a saint there. And actually, she had just, don't get the right idea or the wrong idea, but many of these masters are all about tough love, and she was really intense on me. And I'll tell you, I got on the plane leaving Puttaparthi just thinking, oh, my God, I've got so much growth to do. I've got to grow. And I was just like, my heart was just in my throat. I was just like in a place where I was crying dry tears on the plane. I just felt so like, oh, my gosh, there's so much I have to just do. Anyway, I'm sitting there on the plane, and the women that I traveled with were all asleep, and I just sat there and was making jewelry, because I do that unconsciously, and I was, as I think, and I'm making this jewelry, and this woman who I was supposed to be sitting with in the first place, but I'd moved farther away so I could have a whole row in case I wanted to lay down and fall asleep, came up to me, and she looked down, and she said, oh, what are you doing? I said, making jewelry, and she looks down at me, and she goes, nice. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm on my way to the United Nations to speak on the repression of women. I said, really? I said, well, sit down. That really intrigued me. And I said, what do you do? And she said, well, I run an organization called Women's Voice. There's 24,000 women involved in this organization. And I said, how cool. And anyway, by the time we got to Amsterdam, we were best friends and gave each other our email addresses. And before she got off the plane to go to her next flight, she looked at me and she said, Janet, would you ever consider coming back to India to teach poor women how to make jewelry? And even though that's not what I was doing, I was working at Books Are Fun at the time, when she said that to me, I was just like, oh my God, absolutely, I'd love to do that. So we exchanged email addresses and we said, okay, someday I'll come. Anyway, the story goes on that I get home. I'm home 5 days. I had a whole month off from Books Are Fun, and I'd already spent 2 weeks of it. I'm home 5 days, actually a month and a half, and I can't stop thinking about this woman and going to back to India. And so I buy a ticket. I just like paid full price, bought the ticket, grabbed all my jewelry gear, got on a plane, and flew back to India. On the sixth day. Now, that might sound crazy, and I thought so too, because here's the other thing that was really nutty about it. I never got a hold of the woman. And it wasn't until I was in Iowa at the time that I got to Minneapolis that I realized, you know, she might not be there. And so I ran up to the airline people, and I say, the reservation desk, I say, excuse me, what would happen if I cancel my ticket right now? Because I thought, oh, my God, this is so expensive. What am I doing? And she might not be there. And they said, well, you'll just have to forfeit it. It's too late. And I went, oh, God. Anyway, I get on the plane. I fly to India. When I get to Amsterdam, Chris, I go on Internet, and there's an email from the woman. Janet, great. Looking forward to having you. We'll have the girls ready. And short story is, I get there. I teach 20 girls how to make jewelry. I sit on a dirty floor for a week. And I tell you, Chris, with all my heart, and every time I tell this story, I start to cry. It had to be one of the very best weeks of my life. And what it showed me was so huge, because at the end, I started a jewelry club called Janny Ma Jewelry Club, and they'd give their jewelry to me, and I'd sell it in Chicago and send the money back. And we did this for about a year and a half, until one of the main person had to start going to school. And so that stopped. But what it showed me, Chris, was that when you follow your passion, everything, because everything fell into place, and it wasn't easy for all of you to know. It doesn't mean, and we say this and you've heard it, it doesn't mean that there aren't challenges, because there are challenges. I got sick. It was dirty. It was smoggy. It was hot. I couldn't believe, you know, I was running around trying to find more of the jewelry equipment that I needed in Bangalore, India, which was, and I don't speak, you know, Hindi, so that was also interesting, trying to tell them what I needed to have for the girls. But it so showed me that, and that everything will come to you when you just 100% throw yourself into it, go for it. Don't worry about how everything's going to fall into place, and just trust. It was absolutely by far one of the most important things I've ever done, because what it showed me was that truly for me, a life aligned with service and serving was the biggest gift that one can give on the planet. And I know that's what Liz and Rick realized when they were helping in 9/11. And I know our listeners, I'm sure that that's what you all know from the things that you've done to help other people, that to truly, truly, truly fall into your passion and to truly be happy doing something that you love will always be of service to the world, because you can only give from where you have, and if you're full, you give fullness.
Hmm.
How's that?
Great.
Is that what you wanted?
Thank you so much. Absolutely.
You're so welcome.
Well, and I think what's so key about that is that it does take courage to follow your passion sometimes. And sometimes, just as Liz and Rick have also said, sometimes you just have to go for it. You have to start doing something and then pay attention as things come up and learn as you go along. And Liz, I want to come back to you and ask you, looking back on 3 years of experience now, what do you feel are really the key ingredients that we haven't talked about already that have allowed Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise to become as successful as it has?
Well, the main things that have made it successful are the things that we have talked about. I mean, it's the vision and the purpose. The bigger social vision of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise is about service to humanity. That's the main core of the company. And then that also happens to be each of our personal passions. So staying true to that, regardless of what it looks like in the business, that's really been the major driving factor of why Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise has been as successful as it has and will become even more successful in the future.
Wouldn't you also say that one of these principles, Liz and I and Rick have recently been spending some time with Marshall Thurber, who was an associate of Buckminster Fuller and with W. Edwards Deming, both incredible great minds. And one of the principles that Marshall's been talking about is this idea that sharing is having more. Wouldn't you say that that's been a principle that we at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise have really been used as a guiding principle since the inception in many ways?
Yeah, it was interesting hearing Marshall talk about that, because it was another one of those clicks. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what we're doing. We've been doing it unconsciously, but then, when he said that was a guiding principle, it made a lot of sense. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah. I mean, why did Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise choose to make these interviews free? I mean, we have incredible guests. Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise could certainly charge for them.
It was part of the bigger vision.
We
wanted to make it available to as many people as we could.
Mm, beautiful. And I just have to make a comment, because I spent a lot of the time on working on creating our alliances and bringing the pieces together. And I know that that same principle is something that we have found works just so. Is so important, this idea of sharing is having more. It's a different idea than that businesses are in competition. We work with all sorts of partners and organizations who do things which some people would say are very similar to ours. But each of us do them in very unique ways, and what we discover is that when we create relationships with other people and other organizations who have great products and programs and services that can serve our readers and our listeners, then everyone seems to benefit from that. And so that idea of sharing is having more and together we are better, these seem to be key things. Was there anything else, Liz, before I go back to Rick?
Just one more point.
Yeah.
Another one of the main things that we've done is just be open to learning, to experimenting, and to adjusting as we go along.
Can't
get married to one particular idea because next week it may not be the idea anymore.
Right.
And being able to move back and forth and being open to new ideas coming in has helped us keep that edge.
Great. Good. Thank you. So, Rick, you've been the mastermind behind much of the structure of delivering Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. And can you talk about some of the concepts, the principles, the ideas that have gone into the way the magazine has been designed and how we do things and maybe what you've discovered along the way or what we've discovered along the way? You said earlier that things have changed a lot since the beginning. Could you share some of that?
Sure. Absolutely the first lesson I think we've all learned, again, something else that Marshall says is, anything worth doing is worth doing badly at first.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, absolutely, because this is a big one, guys. This, anything worth doing is worth doing badly at first or poorly at first.
Mm.
When we first started out, now we had a pretty good month. Our very first month as a magazine, we had 4,000 people come visit us, and which is not bad for a new website right out of the gate. Nothing to the 65,000 people that come a month now, but a great start. And I'm not sure if we should be sharing this or not, but really for the first year and a half, guys, we didn't make a dime. We had thousands and thousands of people come read the magazine, and they loved it, and they enjoyed it, and we had, great testimonials. We couldn't make money off of this thing if it killed us. just for whatever reason, but we just kept on going, and we finally started tapping into, where could we provide value that was so powerful enough that people said, absolutely, that's worth some money to me, and then we get to turn this into a real business. The other great thing here is we have gone from day one on that key point of leverage that has come up.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned this free teleseminar series, the fact that we do keep this thing free, and there are plenty of people who are charging money for content just like this. It's not many places that you can go and listen to an hour conversation with guys like Stephen Covey or Wayne Dyer or, dozens and dozens of other people we've interviewed. And yet, by doing it totally for free, it's a true win-win because we get, incredible exposure for these well-known authors and speakers and mentors, so they are anxious to come work with us. Of course, the listeners, you all get a fantastic deal. Because we're going to provide the best content we can at absolutely no charge. And then, of course, for us as a magazine, we get awesome content, and we get to increase the value that we're providing. So literally everybody wins. And that's certainly one of the key things we have tried to do all along is that leverage point of let's create systems and situations where everybody wins.
Great. And can you lead in? Maybe we can do this a bit together. In fact, maybe we can all pipe in where it's appropriate. But will you talk a little bit about some of the plans that are coming up for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise in the coming year? And I know it really began with the survey that we did in December. And I, Rick or Liz, I don't know which of you would like to answer this, but maybe you could talk a little bit about the idea of doing a survey, some of the things that came out of that, and we can lead into what we've thought about and how those pieces come together in this coming year.
Yeah, I'll definitely comment on that.
Okay.
Because this is, for anybody out there who is trying to build a business or has a business, one of the most key lessons that you can learn is what does your market want? What do your customers, what do your clients, what do your readers want, from you? And of course, you are making a business here, and money does need to change hands. So we did a pretty comprehensive survey where we flat out asked everybody, You know, what is it that you're looking for? You know, where can we help you out? You know, what resources could we put together for you, you know, that you will find of just massive value? And then furthermore, we actually asked, you know, how much would you be willing to pay for it? So that we had a great framework of what people wanted and what they thought that they could pay for it or they would pay for it. So, in other words, you know, we're not just putting stuff together and then throwing it out there.
Right.
You know, we're actually asking people, you know, what do you want? How can we serve you? And then let's go from there to make it a win-win situation.
Well, and one of the things that came out of that was our recognition that maybe we could provide more value with the Real Life Legends Club membership, right? That we talked about, we have, as probably most of our listeners know, that those who choose to can pay a monthly fee and receive recordings and transcripts of these calls that we do twice a month. And we were talking about how could we add more value to that and how could that work. And so, Liz, when do we think that some of the new additions to the Real Life Legends Club are going to be available? And maybe you could talk a little bit about the newsletter, and I'll pipe in as well.
Well, the plan is to have them ready for the anniversary. So they'll start rolling out in May. We're going to have a newsletter that actually takes people through transformational processes each month. Like 1 month you'll be taking the passion test. The next month you'll be analyzing where you are in your life in the pursuit of your dreams and figuring out what you're doing that's working. So when we start changing things, you don't throw out what's working with the bathwater. Then the next month, you'll do something like figuring out what's missing in your life or what's crowding up your life that is taking up too much room and isn't letting you pursue your dreams. And then there are about 5 other processes that we'll take you through in a series each month, as well as a bunch of whole other neat, cool stuff that I don't want to give away on the phone.
All right, very good. Cool. And I know that our concept with this is, can we create a structure for this so that using the tools and the knowledge and the experience that we have and that we've written about at times, that we can pull that together so that our members every month are experiencing a significant transformation and making significant steps forward every month in their own lives and pursuing their own passions, right?
We just wanted to take it up a notch.
Right, right, exactly. Now, We also, one of the things that we talked about and that we surveyed people on in December was something, I forget what we called it in the survey, but a program that we are going to be launching later this year. And Liz, would you like to talk about that a little bit, or would you like me to?
You do it really well.
Oh, thank you. We were talking about how can we had gotten so much feedback. Janet and I and Liz and Rick had gotten so much feedback from people saying, you know, I love the passion test and it's been really helpful and valuable for me. And one of the things I'd love to do is to be able to help other people find their passions. And so later this year, we are going to be taking all of the different products and programs and services that have been developed in Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise over the last several years and put them together in a form that those people who really have an interest and a desire to be able to serve others by helping them to discover their passions and to help people move through that process can have a business model and the tools that they need to be able to reach out and make those services available to people even if they don't have experience in the business. Basically, what our intent is to take all the learning that we have gained from all of our experience and from all of the incredible people we've had the good fortune to work with and to create almost a business in a box, a structure that someone can step into, and we will train them, and then they will become what we are coining a whole new word. I'm sure all of you on the phone have heard of entrepreneurs. Well, we intend to create a program for transfopreneurs, which are people who are in the business of creating transformation and doing it in a way that creates abundance for themselves and others at the same time. And so the Transflopreneur program is something that has arisen out of the expressed desire of our readers, and we look forward to sharing that with you in a few months as it becomes available. And one of the things that I have seen, and I really want to share in this whole experience with Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, is the idea that the whole is more than the sum of the parts, that we have learned that all of the pieces, all of the different pieces that we're involved with Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, when all of those things fit together, then it creates a whole which is much bigger than the individual parts. And it's not something that you can plan in advance. When you're working on pursuing your own passions and creating your own path in life, you can't necessarily plan it out all in advance. As Rick and Liz and Janet have all said, that it's a matter of taking one step and then another step and another step. And then as you go along, and as Rick was saying, you know, it took us a year and a half to kind of begin to see how the pieces might start falling into place, how they might be fitting together. But there came a point, wouldn't you guys all agree with this? There came a point where we began to see that the pieces were beginning to fit together.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it was actually this year where it really, because we've been going in so many, you know, bringing in so many new things so fast.
Right.
Right. Once one piece clicks into the puzzle, all of a sudden it becomes a lot easier to snap more pieces of the puzzle into place.
And right.
And it's also true that when something is added, one piece is added to the puzzle, we all have to adjust as well. You know, to have it, right, Liz?
Yep.
To seeing it.
We do.
Yeah, right?
We're in a constant process of adjustment, I think.
Right. You learn to be a rubber band working with a team. You know, Akiris, can I share? I want to just really quickly share. You know, there's that quote that one of our great mentors has said, 4 are invincible, 3 are safe, 2 are in danger, and 1 will be crushed, and talking about a team.
Yes.
4 are invincible, 3 are safe, 2 are in danger, and 1 will be crushed. And it's simply that, you know, if I don't know something, Liz does every time, or Rick does, or Chris does, and if Chris doesn't, and we're all there to check each other, and it's just so completely invincible.
It is.
When you're open, when you stay open. Something, I want to share this really quickly. Something, when we were all together in Mexico and we were discussing something and I felt really strong about it and Liz felt really strong about it and Rick did too, but Chris said, you know, I just don't know. And I said, oh, it's okay, you'll get it. And Rick later came back and said, you know, let's look at this again. There has to be a way where all 4 of us can come into agreement on this. And so we sat with it again, and that's the value of a team. And then we got bigger, and then we expanded, and then we came up with a better idea.
Yeah, it's amazing how that happens, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Rick, for that moment. It was a great one, great moment.
Yeah. So, Janet, you know, we've talked about a lot, and to some of our listeners, it might feel like perhaps it's even out of their reach. And is it true that these things are out of anyone's reach? How can our listeners use these ideas to support their own passions and living their own dreams?
Well, you know, for one thing, all of the programs, is that what you're referring to? All of the different things that we're offering to everyone. You know, Chris, I just want to go back to what just happened. Chris and I were just in Mexico with the we belong to what's called the Transformational Leadership Council, which Jack Canfield put together, of speakers and trainers like Dr. John Gray and Marianne Williamson and many others, Marcy Shimoff of Chicken Soup for the Soul. And Chris and I were lucky to and blessed to be able to present our program there. And when we were done, every single person in that group said, we love this program. However we can support you, we will. And Jack Canfield called us and said, will you please come and speak at our August program and give your program? So all of this, Chris, all of this and all of the knowledge that we've gained and that we're offering, it's all about mentors. You know, a lot of what we've done and Rick and Liz, all that we've learned from others, you know, who've done it before. And we're just putting it together in these great different ways, and we're seeing that it's really successful. And for all of you, if it's, you know, for all of you to be able to participate in all of this, it's just so fabulous, because it's all about growth. That's why we created the Passion Series and why we make the calls available without charge, because our desire is to just put out knowledge, gain knowledge, put out knowledge, share knowledge. And we want as many people as possible to gain from the experience of these very successful people that we've been gaining from as well. You know, all of us are committed to continuing to learn. We'll all agree on that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on this call this evening. You know, to find ways to connect with people who are doing what you want to do. And we do a lot of things for Alliance Partners for free, all of us. I mean, you can't imagine. I would say 3/4 of the different things that we're involved in, we do for free, if not more. And actually, that's a big secret to success, to find out how you can help and support those you can learn from. Because when you make their lives easier, when you help them achieve their goals, they'll be happy to share their knowledge and wisdom with you. And all of you have the opportunity to, from all of this knowledge, to do the same thing, to become mentors in your own right.
Okay. Thank you, Janet. And so as we come toward the end of this call, Liz, will you give our listeners some practical steps that they can take in this coming week that will help them to connect with mentors who can help them live there's the story of their own dreams? Liz?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good.
I must have blanked out for a second there. Now, for our listeners, I hope you have a pen and paper ready, because these are important steps that will really get you moving. The very first one is get clear on what your dream looks like and what it feels like. Just get really, really clear on that vision and write it down in as much detail as you can. You know, what it looks like, feels like, smells like, everything. And this will start your reticular activator going. And, you know, your reticular activator is that thing that makes you see, when you buy a new car, all of a sudden you see every other car that's exactly like yours on the road and you never saw them before.
Mm.
That's your reticular activator working. So when you get really, really clear on your dream, you'll start to see things around you that fit in there that you would not have seen before. And then the next step is, once you're clear, start looking at what your next step is and who or what can help you get there. And that information will just pop right in as you get clear about it. So realize also that mentors are not just people who can teach you. You know, you don't have to have Jack Canfield teach you. you can get Jack Canfield's book and start from there. You know, a mentor is anything or anyone that you can learn from. So just start where you're at. That's the best place to start. And then when you find an actual person that you resonate with, find out what's most important to that person and where they want to go and what they want to achieve. What does their dream look like? And figure out how you can help them get what they want, and then do it. So while you're working with them, soak up everything you can possibly learn, but make sure that you're helping them achieve their bigger dream and their bigger goal too.
Right. Cool.
So that's it. Those are the three steps.
So real quick, just review the three. 1, 2, 3.
Get really, really clear on what your dream looks like and feels like.
Okay.
Write it down in detail.
Number two
is start looking for the mentor. It's not necessarily a person. It's anything or anyone that you can learn from.
Okay.
And the third one is, when you find a person that you're going to work with, make sure you know what they want to, and that you align yourself with what they want and help them get it.
Great. Fabulous. So I'm going to ask each of you to just briefly share the one single idea that you'd like to leave our listeners with. And Rick, will you begin?
I think just to kind of, you know, if we haven't beaten this one over enough, it's just get going. You know, you've got to start somewhere. Like Liz said, the best place to start is where you're at. And just take that first step. Just move.
Great.
And it'll be miraculous when it comes from it.
Great. Thank you. And Janet?
No, for I think to the extent that you're clear what you desire to have show up in your life, it will. Your life is a movie, and whatever you're living right now, you created. Now you can rewind or you can put in a new reel. So just as Liz said in one of those practical steps, clarify what it is that you want. And then, and to the extent that it's so clear in you that you're breathing it, eating it, speaking it, seeing it in every single way.
Great, thank you. And Liz?
There's a reason that you have the dream that you do. And it was given to you to bring into this world. It was given to you to make that dream a reality. And the only way you can do that is by becoming the person who lives in that dream. So it all starts with you, and I would really like to leave you with a poem that I have in the Science of Creating Your Dreams called Changing the World.
Oh, great, please.
When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on my town. I couldn't change the town, and as an older man, I tried to change my family. Now as an old man, I realize the only thing I can change is myself. And suddenly I realized that if long ago I had changed myself, I could have made an impact on my family. My family and I could have made an impact on our town. Their impact could have changed the nation, and I could indeed have changed the world. So start with yourself and become that person who can live in your dreams. Take that first step and get really, really clear, because the story of your life does depend on it.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. Liz, Rick, Janet, thank you for so much for sharing your experience and your knowledge tonight. And it's been a treat. And, you know, as we celebrate Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise's third birthday, I think we're also must be celebrating the ability for every single person who's on the line tonight, as well as every single subscriber that we have, as well as every single person in the world, actually, to really live their dreams. Every one of us has the ability to live our dreams, and the help is there all around us to truly follow the path of our destiny. And I, what my feeling is as we celebrate this anniversary is that it's an opportunity for us at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise to recommit ourselves to all of those who are listening tonight and to all of those who read the magazine, to bringing you the greatest tools, the greatest knowledge, the greatest resources and mentors that we possibly can to help you be able to live the story of your dreams, and that's what we're committed to. And, you know, I remember when we were in Puerto Vallarta with Liz and Rick a few weeks ago, we were sitting around talking about this coming year and what we would do, and we had planned to do a retreat, this Discover Your Destiny retreat. Some of you may have heard about it because we talked about it when we were doing the survey in December, and we had to figure out when and where we were going to do it and all the details around it. And it really occurred to us at that time that the most appropriate place for us to do that would be here at the home that Janet and I share in Mill Valley, California, across the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco, where we can have our living room will hold about 40 people, and we can have a small group here to be with us, and that we can teach, and more than teach, actually, we can facilitate some of our readers and some of our subscribers in really going deeply into their hearts. And on this, what we are calling the Discover Your Passion, Discover Your Destiny retreat. And so as we end this call tonight, I want to give out an invitation to all of you who are listening, that if you're really at a point in your life where you know that things have to change for you, that it's time for things to change for you, I want you to know that you're invited to come to our home. And to come to our home in April, I think the dates are April 21st to the 23rd, and spend a couple of days where we'll take you through the passion test. We'll take you on an adventure into your own heart to really go deeply and discover those passions which are the fuel for you to be able to live your dreams. And we'll also share with you some of the tools that we've discovered, because, you know, as we talked about tonight, there are challenges that come up. And we don't want you to have an incredible 2 days with us and then go back home and the realities of daily life hit and you get knocked flat. And we want you to have tools which can allow you to get back up, to dust yourself off, and to be able to step forward once again. Because there are tools that we have found are very powerful and very effective, and things, simple things that you can do that can help you move through those challenges. And then during that weekend, we want to take the time with each of you and help you create a plan of action for yourself for the next year of the things that you're going to do and can do that will allow you to take that first step forward. And as I was thinking about this tonight, I was remembering where I was 10 years ago. And about 10 years ago, I was the chief operating officer of a software publishing company, and I was being paid pretty well. And, you know, a lot of people would say I had a good job, and I did. And yet, I was not aligned with my passions at all. And I was pretty miserable and unhappy, to be honest with you all. And when I think back to that time, if I could have imagined what it is like to live the life that I live today, to live in a beautiful place surrounded by beauty in all directions, to be able to work with the most amazing people, to have complete control over my time and how I use my time, to be doing the things that I love most to do and be pursuing a vision that is deeply meaningful to me, I think I would have given anything to learn how to live this life. And I just feel so blessed and fortunate. And I know Janet and Liz and Rick do as well. And it's from that gratitude that we decided that we would all get together. Liz and Rick are coming out here in April as well. We would all get together and we would spend some really private time with a few people. And so if you think that you may be at that point that I was at 10 years ago, then I encourage you to go and to read about the retreat and see if it's something that really can make the significant difference in your life and allow you to live the kind of life that we've been fortunate to, allow us to share the knowledge and the experience that we've gained. And to do that, just go to healthywealthy, the letter N as in NancyWise.com, /retreat. healthywealthyandwise.com/retreat. And as I mentioned, our living room will only hold about 40 people, and I think there's something like 11 people already committed to coming. So there are about 29 places that we have available, and we would love to reserve one of those places for you if we can. And we'll sit together amongst the redwoods and with the eucalyptus trees as the backdrop, and we'll really go deeply in to discover what it is that is your destiny and create that plan that you can begin living it completely. So before we close again, that website, you can read the details of the retreat and what's going to go on there by going to healthywealthy, the letter N is in NancyWise.com, /retreat. And before we close, Liz, Rick, or Janet, is there any last word you'd like to say?
Well, yes, I would. Just one thing, that not to confuse urgency for pressure, but I know that, you know, this course is going to fill up really quickly. The knowledge that we're going to be sharing, I have over 100 hours of knowledge from India that I'm going to be dissecting enough to really whet your appetites. This morning, as a matter of fact, I'm going to run out of here and interview this guy that I met at the conference who hasn't eaten since 1996 and actually lives off of the sun. And his name is Sun Yogi. So there'll be a lot of knowledge, a lot of fun, and a lot of out there information to stretch like this, to stretch you to the point where anything is absolutely possible. So we so hope we'll see you there.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And so, Liz or Rick, if you don't have anything else, then I'm going to open up the lines, and we'll say goodnight to everyone. Thank you so much for being with us, and remember, join us in 2 weeks for Bob Sheinfeld, and on April 4th, we expect to have Robert Kiyosaki with us. So good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.